this week's episode of Asexuals Anonymous, the podcast where we talk all about asexuality. If you'd like to get in touch, please do. We love hearing from you. The email address is asexualsanom@hotmail.com. The Instagram page is Asexuals Anonymous Podcast. Please give it a follow if you can, and the DMs are always open. My DMs on TikTok and Instagram are also always open. My TikTok handle is AmyButler66, AmyButler66, and Instagram is AmyButler96. Let's get on with this week's episode. It's Pride Month, Pride Month, gotta get down on Pride Month. Everybody's partying, cause it's Pride Month, Pride Month, Pride Month, Pride Month. Hello!
I was waiting to see how long the verse was gonna go for. I was really vibing with it then. Happy Pride, babes!
Happy Pride! I just realised this should have been the intro for last week. However, better late than never.
Better late than never. Listen, it is what it is at this point.
It is what it is.
We're still proud, even though it's always. I'm always proud of you.
Oh, do you know what? I'm proud of you too. I just said that to you as well, didn't I?
You did, actually. You said it to me off podcast as well. Like, we had a little...
It means it's real.
We had a little deep and meaningful chat. I had my therapy session.
It's a very short one, to be fair.
Oh, well. Listen, short and sweet, just short like me.
I was going to say just like me.
I feel like you're more sweet and I'm more sour.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say, I feel like you're more sweet and I'm more short.
No, I think we're around similar height.
How tall are you?
5'3".
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I don't really know. I'm 160 centimetres, but that can pass for like 5'2.5" or 5'3". But then sometimes I also tell people I'm 5'4".
I don't understand any measure. Like, I have to just pretend that I understand what measure is. And like, people will say something and I'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah. But I have to have a practical physical object that I can associate with it. So like a lot of my friends are like losing weight and stuff, and they'll be like, oh, I've lost 3 pounds, and I'm like, oh, well done. But then I got told that 3 pounds, like 1 pound, is the same weight as like a big bottle of Coke.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, but it's the same weight. So like, if you think, if you carry it, that's how much. I mean, I don't know if that's actually true.
I feel the same about weight, but I feel like height and measuring in height I'm better at, because
I ran 10k this morning. I'm like, good for you, congratulations, you run 10 of the k's. I don't know how much one of the k's is. I don't know how far that is. Or they'll go, oh, it's only up the road, just like 4 miles, and I'm like,
yeah. I'm like, when the sat nav is like, and you're gonna take the exit in 3 miles, I'm like, okay, I don't know how long that is.
I'll just wait for the like arrow to like turn and be like 0 miles. I'm like, well, I'm turning here. Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know. Listen, how have we gone from Pride to measure? Chaos queens. We are chaos queens.
We haven't tangented like that in a while.
No. Well, we probably have, but we probably just ignored it because our life is just pure tangents. Like, I don't think you guys understand, when we hang out, there's no clear path of conversation. It's just chaos.
There's no path to my life.
Same, preach.
There's no structure, nothing.
We're just on the roller coaster, me and you together.
I never know what I'm doing tomorrow, let alone...
I don't even know what I'm having for dinner, babe. We have also discussed that, just offline. So, you know, all good fun, though. It's all good fun. Yes, it's Pride Month. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. We're going to go to Pride, aren't we?
We are. I feel like we went last year together. I had a great time. It was just, there was a lot to do and it was so hot.
Yeah,
we can learn from that this time. We're actually going to go and hang out a bit more than we did and enjoy it a bit more and just feel the vibes and Yeah.
Well, last year I was very lucky to be invited down for Pride in London and do like a little interview segment with them. And they've asked me to do the same this year. So we'll see how that goes and the schedule for that and what they want me to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll just plan around that, really.
Yeah. But is it still on YouTube? Like, can you still watch it?
The Pride in London?
Yeah, from last year.
Yes, it is still on YouTube.
Yeah, get on it, guys. It's all about asexuality. Like, it's good. It's good vibes.
Thank you. I put the segments on my TikTok as well. So if you did want to find out what I said, I put the interview on TikTok in like little parts. So scroll down, find that. Tell me what you think.
Have a little look. And then, you know, we'll be recreating, but just the 2025 version.
Woo! So. Yeah, hopefully. Because last year as well, we were really flustered and it was really hot. So this year we'll be more organised.
And I feel like... I mean, I'm definitely speaking for myself. I don't know whether you agree. I feel like I know a lot more. Obviously, I wasn't on there, wasn't speaking and stuff. But from like what we've done with the podcast, I think I know a lot more about it, and I know kind of my levels of what I want and expectations and understanding of just asexuality in general, and which parts I identify with and which parts of my identity's changed in the year and everything. So I think it will be interesting to see the contrast in last year and this year.
It will be. This week's episode, I thought we could talk about, and I really hope we haven't spoken about this on the pod before, because I know that we've definitely spoken about it. Yeah. I'm just hoping we've not spoken.
I think I don't know whether we might have touched upon it before, but I don't think we've gone into so much detail as what we're going to go into today.
Yeah. Because I actually do have a lot to say on this subject, but we're going to talk about grief within sexuality and identity. So my reasoning for wanting to talk about this is because I found finding out that grief is a part of the process really helpful, because I feel like I had all these like emotions. I didn't quite know where they fit with them. They were quite negative and like depressed emotions about it. And then when a friend sort of was like, well, you're basically grieving a life you thought you were gonna have, and it just really helped me realize what I'm about to go through and what I was going through. Because you've researched the 5 stages of grief, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I mean, you can apply these stages to like anything, like any kind of loss of anything. Or and even like when you think about like people who come out as trans and they change their identity and they change their name, a lot of people refer to their kind of name that they're given at birth as their dead name as well. So it is, some people feel the stages, some people don't, some people feel some of them, some people sit in different areas like a lot more. But the actual 5 stages of grief are denial, then anger, bargaining, depression and acceptance. And I don't think it's a straight, I personally don't think it's a straight timeline. I think you just, because it says, while often presented as a linear process, individuals may experience these stages in any order, skip them entirely, linger in one stage for a prolonged period, or bounce between them.
Mm.
And I think that, like, for me, definitely, I bounce between so many of them. Not all of them, but...
What do you think it means by bargaining?
So it says here, I'll read you them all. So denial is, it says, this initial stage involves disbelief and a sense of shock or numbness regarding the loss. Anger, as reality sets in, anger can manifest as frustration, resentment, or even blame towards oneself or others. Bargaining, individuals may attempt to regain control or prevent the loss by making deals or promises, often with a higher power. Mm-hmm. Depression, this stage is marked by sadness, feelings of hopelessness, and a sense of loss. And acceptance. This final stage involves acknowledging the loss and finding a way to move forward with life, even with the ongoing pain of the loss.
Interesting. So I think definitely now I'm in the process of acceptance, which is quite nice. But I definitely went through depression. Oh my goodness, my mental health was wild when I sort of like was.
And I think from what we've said as well, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, we do kind of bounce back to those stages, because there's some days where I'm chatting to you and I'm like, I don't want to be ace, I don't want this, I don't want this life, I don't want to feel like this, why can't it be more simple? And I do think that we bounce more like between that and the acceptance. And where I'm at now compared to where I was is a huge difference. But also, I don't really feel like I've gone through the bargaining stage of it as much.
So this is interesting. And I hadn't really thought about this, like, as a bargaining and a stage of grief. But I do kind of recognise in myself that I'm kind of like, I don't know if you would call it like striking a deal or whatever, but I am a bit like, I think I'm demi-grey because I like to think that I can still feel like desire and attraction, sexual mm-hmm. attraction, just within the right circumstance and with the right person. However, I actually don't know if that's true. And I've said that before. And I wonder if that is a stage of bargaining to be like, okay, I am ace. However, I might feel it, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, because it does say individuals attempt to regain control or prevent the loss by making deals or promises, often with higher power. Like, I hear that because, like, there is times where I'm just like, well, I'll accept that I'm ace, but I'm not going to put myself out there. I'm not going to date anyone. I'm just going to close myself off to things. And I don't know if that's me trying to regain the control side of it to be like, you can't get hurt and you can't face all of these feelings that would be better if you did face them and dealt with them if you keep control of it and you just don't put yourself out there and you don't address it. So I think obviously we can't sit there and like pray to a god and be like, dear God, make me not ace. But I do think that there is a certain kind of element, like you said, where you talk about like the control side of it and be like, well, I must be this because of this.
Yeah, like I've definitely got like, okay, yep, yeah, I'll accept that I'm ace, but I don't want to accept that I will never feel it, which that could be the case. Like, I don't know. I think it's hard, like sitting in the place of unknowing. However, a bit like you, I'm also not putting myself out there to find out.
Well, I tried the whole putting myself out there and it didn't really go so well. So I'm kind of just, I've reclused back into, I'm good. I'm Miss Independent. I'm going to be on my own for a little bit and then.
But I do think with your situation, there are lots of positives to take from that. And you might not feel like that right now, but there definitely.
You've said to me from offline from the get-go, regardless of what happens with people and with things, like take it as a learning, like a lesson, learn from this. And there is so many things that I have learned from this situation as to like where I think I sit on the ace spectrum and what I would want from partners or relationships or.
Yeah, I feel like you've got a lot of clarity almost. Mm. Whereas for me, because I'm not putting myself out there for whatever reason, I'm not getting any clarity and I'm not really learning about myself in that way.
And I think it goes back to like what we were talking about from the message. Like the last episode is we were sitting here and, you know, we're not always, me and you, we're not so good at practicing what we preach sometimes. And we're like, the only way that you can figure out what you want is to experience what you don't want. And then we're like, we will experience nothing.
I will now sit in my room for the rest of my week.
We will just hang out with each other. That's it.
So true. Like, I've got all this advice. I just can't follow it myself.
Yeah.
I feel like that's always the way. But then, yeah, I feel
there's
like
another,
that.
There's another bit that says there's actually 7 stages of grief, not 5.
Ooh. Okay.
So the first one apparently is not denial. The first one, which I don't disagree with, is shock, apparently.
Yeah.
So you've got shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, then testing, which I think is to do with, like, you know, kind of seeing where you sit, where your feelings are, with whatever you've lost, and then acceptance.
Ah, interesting.
So apparently, yeah, some people believe there's 5, some people believe that there's 7. Whereas it says with the testing is the process of trying to find solutions that offer a means of dealing with the loss. Someone may drift in and out of other grieving stages during this time.
Hmm. That's interesting. I do think that grief as a term is kind of like forgotten when people talk about like sexuality. And I get why it would be, because it's when people think about sexual orientations, they're not thinking grief, and grief is often linked with death, and obviously no one's died in this situation except our
we've said this so many times, like, we, when you grow up, especially like in the time that we grew up, there was always like a, and not necessarily coming from our individual circumstances, but there is like the social norms and the expectations of man, woman, dog, baby, house, da 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 da.
Yeah.
And I think that when, especially when, like, me personally, that's what I grew up around. Like, I wasn't surrounded by anyone who was anything other than straight and had followed that pattern. Mm-hmm. And even now, to a certain extent, not so much, but I don't have most, a lot of my friends are in straight relationships, and they have done the house kind of kids, all that stuff. And there's no issues with that at all. But I think you have to kind of, when you have an idea in your head of how your life is going to go, and I've seen, there's a lot of people on TikTok now where they're like, you know, I thought I would have kids by this age, I thought I would have this. And you can never plan your life out anyway, but I think people do have that idea. And when something doesn't go your way, it could even be like with like a job, or with like, you know, buying a house. And if any of these things fall through, you will experience that loss of, this is how I thought it was going to be. And it's not. And like, you grieve when you break up a relationship. You could be with someone for years and years, and then suddenly something changes and that relationship ends, not necessarily because someone died, like you said. And you have to grieve something that you've lost. And I think, like you said, grief is associated with death, but actually grief should just be associated with loss, with losing something, whether that's an idea, whether that's a person, whether that's whatever it is. Grief should be associated with loss. And that loss can be a physical or emotional or a person or whatever.
Yeah. Because also, I do feel like as soon as I learned about the term asexual, like, that life died. Yeah. That idea of my life completely died. And it kind of like, it put a full stop in any thought of my future. And my future was so unknown, because I wasn't educated about this at all, and so I knew nothing of what it meant for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is like, obviously the unknown in itself is just a scary aspect, a scary thought. So for me to like have that massive word thrown at me, which is almost like a full stop, and then a completely new chapter of my whole life and existence begins, it's like, it is like it's really scary. Your my whole life trajectory, is that the right word?
Yeah,
changed within like a split second. And I guess that is what happens when someone, say, close to you dies as well. Like, your life then completely changed, and there's a full stop there, and you're off then. You're off on a different path that you never thought or you didn't.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I agree. And I think for me as well, because before realizing I was ace, I did go through the realization of, I don't think I'm straight. And I went through a phase of being like, no, I'm just bi. And I was like, I think, again, that goes to like the denial. It also could fit in with the bargaining. Like, it could fit with lots of areas. And I sat in that for a long time, and then eventually got comfortable saying that. And then it kind of got to a point where I was a bit like, am I bi or am I gay? And then having to deal with that, stages of grief for that. And then it kind of got to the point where I was like, I do feel like I'm gay, but I also don't feel like I'm gay. So there's some other question mark that I need to deal with. And so it was kind of like grief in amongst other stuff that I had to deal with, you know, actually losing people in my life and going through changes. And, you know, when you leave a job and when you move away or when you move house and all of this stuff, and you have to deal with all of these things that you are essentially grieving with those things thrown in. And then I think it's hard to, for me, I think I find it difficult to accept because I didn't understand.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing. And it's like, people, you know, if someone dies suddenly and like they're not ill or they're young or any of these things, I think people, it takes people longer to deal with that because it's hard to understand. And like some people have said, when, you know, when a grandparent dies and they're really ill and they're really old and stuff like that, it's easier to accept it because you know that they've had their full life and they were ill and they were old, whereas it's hard to accept something that you don't fully understand. And with sexuality being a spectrum and with the lack of asexual representation, it's hard to understand and it's hard to get your head around that side. Yeah,
I think as well, like, I've grown up like thinking, yep, I see myself having a partner, and I always saw myself sort of like having a male partner and then getting married and having a house and having a baby, and like that was kind of like there was no reason to think otherwise. And then to like watch that all fall to pieces, or feel like that all falls to pieces when you have this realization. I remember saying to my friend, I was like, I'm just sad.
Yeah.
I'm really sad that this might not happen for me because of this, or now I know there's a real chance this might not happen. Like, I just remember being just sad, full stop, yeah, sad. And she was like, you're basically grieving a life that you thought you'd have. And I was like, and there's no reason to say I won't have it. It's just the navigation of it is going to be very, very different.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, that makes me so sad.
And I think as well, whilst you're trying to navigate this, and like for me, especially now, and I don't know if you agree, disagree, I go back into the more frustration and the anger of it and be like,
yeah.
I get sad about it at times, and I still get sad about it, but I think it gets to a point where now I'm just a bit like, why can't I be quote unquote normal?
Yeah.
Why is my body? And then it's very much, I never thought that being gay was a choice ever. And I was always brought up like with my family being very accepting of people regardless of any situation. Like there was no negative negativity about someone who wasn't straight or
yeah,
white or any, you know, the typical things. But I also felt frustrated that I was getting annoyed by it, because I'm like, well, you wouldn't get annoyed if one of your friends came and spoke to you and said, this is how I'm feeling. So why are you putting that frustration on yourself? And I think
my friends kept saying that. They kept saying, look, what if it was me that come to you? And I'd be like, I'd be so accepting. You know exactly how I'd be. I'd be how you are to me. And the way my friends acted is exactly how I would have acted. Like, very accepting, very supportive, et cetera, et cetera. But when it is you going through it, anything that anyone says is so like irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't help. Like, nothing makes the situation better, and you've just got to ride the waves. You've just got to go through it.
And I think that was one of the things that did pull me towards the acceptance, was like when me and you started chatting, because it was, sometimes it's one of those things where actually you can get through the stages a lot quicker if you are not on your own.
100%. Yeah.
And you've got like, I've got very supportive friends, and I've got a whole amazing support network around me, and in a good way, like we've said before, in a good way, they don't care.
Yeah,
they don't care, and they're just like, do what you want, as long as you're happy and as long as you're safe, do what you want, enjoy your life the way that you want to enjoy it, like we'll be here for you regardless. But I think having a person that's an actual like physical person that I can talk to and go, doesn't this suck? And you go, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Whereas talking to my friends who are, you know, married with their two kids and their house and have followed that. And you know what? I've got friends who didn't have kids until they were like in their later 30s, and they didn't necessarily follow the quote unquote social norms. But it's hard for them to turn around and go, I'm sure that's really difficult, because it's kind of like, well, you don't know, because you've got a person who loves you, and you've got your kids, and you've got and you just, you know, wake up and you go, I feel this sexual attraction, I feel this desire, I have the normal feelings that I'm supposed to have.
Yeah, and sometimes I've watched my friends and family like move on to the next person when it goes wrong, and they find these connections quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to then watch that and just wish that I could do that, it's so hard. And it just also is like, you don't understand, and it's not their problem, it's not their fault to understand.
No, absolutely not. But then you can also, like, I think sometimes that's where anger comes in towards me, and it's a little bit of like jealousy and resentment towards them not having to deal with this.
Oh, 100%. Like, I always say as well, how I sort of describe it is like I've got this massive window, like clear window, and I'm this side of the window and everyone else is the other side of this clear window, and I just want to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But there's this massive thing in the way and it's so clear.
And you can watch what everybody else has got and
watch what they're doing.
And know that you want to have certain aspects of that, and then just you can't.
I just want to cross over into their world.
Yeah.
I feel like we're living in a completely different world. And like I can't, like, you know, when you sort of see people like reach and their hands just like going against like a wall or something, or like
For sure,
they're reaching and then like the bubble disappears, or I don't know, it's not actually there, you know, like when people are reaching, you try and grab water,
yeah.
You just can't get it, like it's almost like a nightmare, isn't it? But like I always feel like there's like this massive screen in front of me and I just can't cross over into their world, and that's all I want, is to feel those feelings and have those people and like be close, because I am such a close person, like I form bonds and like quite deep bonds quite easily, like my friendships are the most important things in the world to me, and I just wish that I could, you know, be in their world a little bit. And it's annoying because it's so clear.
Yeah,
it is so clear.
But there is this, there's another, it's like it's like a little article, and it says if you want to something that could help you like make a plan to get through the grief is something called practicing the 3 C's.
All right.
So the first C is choose. So it says choose what's best for you. Even during dark bouts of grief, you still possess the dignity of choice. Grief often brings the sense of loss of control. Make choices about what you can do and what you can't do to help reinstate some of that loss of control. So that's the first one. The second one is connect, and it says we are wired for connection, and grief intensifies the feelings of loneliness, which often leads to isolation. It's difficult but important not to remove yourself from others' lives. And I think that goes back to what I was saying. Like, I felt instantly better just chatting to you and just going, oh, there's another person who I can actually have that connection with who gets it.
Yeah.
And then the last one is communicate. Put your needs out there, say to others, this is going to be awkward or weird, but this is what I need. And then communicating to your friends and family will help them know how best to come alongside you on the journey, especially when grief arrives. So it helps you moving towards healing.
Yeah, I think I got to the point eventually after the whole depression, anxiety, grief of a change of life circumstance and stuff. I think what gets me if I'm having a bad day is that I can't change anything.
Yeah.
So basically, like, just control the controllables, control what's in your power. I can't control the fact that I don't feel feelings for people very easily. Like, that is genuinely, like, out of my control. So why don't we just deal with what I can do? And, you know, there is more to life, and there's more to, like, being in a relationship or, like, having a partner doesn't, I mean, I've never really had one, so, and I've lived quite a happy life, really. So it's not the be all and end all. However, like, of course it's depressing and it's sad, like, to think that it is really hard for us. But at the end of the day, it's completely not the end of the world. And maybe we do focus on, maybe I do need to focus on things that I can control and things that do make me happy. And then maybe, they always say, don't they, love will come to you when you're not looking for it. Or,
well, that's the thing, is like I said, I've taken a little step back from dating and stuff, but if anything's supposed to happen, then it will.
That's what I truly believe that, and that's kind of where I'm putting all my eggs at the minute. I'm just trusting the universe. Like, eventually someone's going to come into my life and they're going to be my person. And I feel like, as long as, like, I'm looking for that positivity and I'm looking for that end destination, there's almost, like, no reason why it won't happen, if you know what I mean. Like, you know when people say, like, the law of attraction, basically. Mm. So if you wake up and you say to yourself, I'm going to have a bad day today, you look for all the negatives in the day.
Yeah.
If you wake up and say, I'm going to have a positive, good day, you're going to look for all the good, positive things. Almost like to prove you right, I guess.
Yeah.
So if you believe that, like, and it's not a complete, like, rule that it's going to happen, but like it's nice to believe that it will happen. And
I feel like me and you do like take those kind of little theories on, like, you know, butterfly effects, burnt toast, sliding doors, all that stuff. And for me, like, and what I will do is if something negative happens, for me to find comfort in it, I always do try and look for the reason. Even if I don't love the reason, I like to have an understanding. I like to understand things. And when some things happen and it doesn't necessarily go my way, and that's in all areas of life, it's like, well, can I figure out what the reason is so that I can understand? Because once I understand, then I can accept. Like, that's my kind of mindset on a lot of things. Like, you know, if stuff doesn't go my way, like at work, or if something doesn't go my way, like when I was like looking to try and find a new flat, the situation just was not working. And I was forcing myself to look at these places that I didn't want to be and I didn't want to live and I wasn't happy with. And I did like very, very nearly move somewhere else. And then I ended up finding the situation that I'm in now, and it's just worked out so well for me. Yeah. And it's kind of like, well, actually the reason why you didn't find anything when you were up until the point that you were so stressed out is because this was supposed to happen. And now look, the situation has worked itself out. So that's something that I find comfort in, because me personally, I'm not a religious person. I'm not going to pray to somebody or believe in something. If that's what people do, then go for it. I wish I could in some ways to have that understanding that there is a like a higher power. But I just think that things will work out the way that they are supposed to, one way or another.
I completely agree. And like, I think about that a lot, especially with work. So for example, I've just missed out on a really good job that I was like, I'm perfect for this, blah, blah, blah. But it's almost like it's not rejection, it's redirection. And as cheesy as that is, I genuinely like believe that. I'm like, okay, maybe I've not got this job, but it's giving me time now to focus on this project that I've been wanting to do for ages. Yeah. Like, it is redirection, and it's putting my energy into something else that maybe I wouldn't have.
And people say, like, you know, like sometimes people put it towards religion and they say, you know, when God closes one door, he opens up another one. But then you can also just apply when one door closes, another one opens. It doesn't necessarily have to go into like a religious kind of idea of it.
And like you said, like maybe that doesn't actually happen. But in order for me to accept the situation, that's what I have to believe. And I think that is exactly like how it is. That's how I deal when I feel like sad about being ace or asexuality and that sort of thing. I do try and like find the positives. Mm. And because otherwise I'm just going to be depressed my whole life.
Yeah, breach.
And I ain't got time for that.
No, we don't have time for that. We're way too fun to be depressed all the time. Yeah. But like, you know, there's little things that we can take from it. And like, that's what we've said so many times about like reading people's messages and people messaging and being like, I'm from Denmark, I'm from Australia, I'm from America, and thank you so much for your podcast. And it's like, well, okay, let's take that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's really cool that we're doing that. And like, I've got our friendship that's come out of this. Like, I love our friendship, and that wouldn't have come any other way if I hadn't have, you know, gone on TikTok and had a little Google in the stage of shock and denial and not understanding and being like, oh no, I can't be this. So
if I didn't have to go through the stages of acceptance and even grief and stuff, then I probably wouldn't have felt the need to post my first TikTok.
Yeah.
So then none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, we are going back to almost the butterfly effect. I don't even know if it counts as that, but
it's that everything happens like, for a reason. Like you were supposed to do all of these things. And people, it's like I've said to like some of my friends, and when we've been speaking about them going on dates and stuff, and they're like, I can't go on another bad date. And then you have that, and I've said so many times, you go on all these bad dates because it's the wrong person, and you go on all these bad dates to realise what you do want and what you don't want and what's out there for you. And then, you know, people have they've met people and things have worked out the way that they've needed to.
Yeah, I am quite like a turning negatives into positive, but when there's a negative time and when I'm feeling crap, what positives can I turn into a positive?
Yeah. And I think you've got me into the mindset. Yeah, and you've very much got me into the mindset. And it doesn't always happen. And there is some days where, you know, I will just be miserable about things.
Me but too. You've don't got get me wrong. Yeah. I'm not like queen positive 24/7.
No, but like, how you I can't be that. Like, that's not being a human. But you've got me into the habit of being like, is this a negative or is this a lesson? Because sometimes you can't necessarily always turn a negative into a positive. Or not even, is this a negative or is it a lesson? Is this a negative or is this a motivation for something different?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. Interesting.
That was a lot deeper than I thought. It wasn't like miserable deep, but that was a lot deeper than I thought we were going to go.
I feel like if you're talking about grief, it's going to be deep. Do you know what I mean? You can't really be have it lighthearted. But
no, but I think we've done it in quite a positive way.
I hope so. I just don't think that like grief is thought about in when people are discussing sexuality and like coming and being in that realization period. Whereas I think it's actually a massively important thing to think about that you're going through. Because for me, when
you can apply it to so many things. Like you could even apply it to like someone who's getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Or like I sat there and I thought about it not that long ago when I applied it to when I got diagnosed with ADHD. And I had to kind of relearn my whole self and what it was like not to mask and not to like hide certain parts of me because I thought it was weird or whatever.
Mm.
And kind of figure out who I was as this new person. Like I'm the same person, but you just have to like, it is
different way of life,
different way of life. And it's also something else that you do have to kind of say to people, oh, I have ADHD or, oh, I'm gay or, oh, I'm asexual or like it's some of these things that you have to highlight because they're not necessarily the social norms and what people would expect.
Yeah, I just think like people having in their brain, they're going through the motions of grief is so helpful to know. Yeah. And then you can deal with it as if you are grieving. Because I think like going through and feeling all these feelings and not quite knowing where they come from or where to place them or how to deal with it. I think knowing I'm going through the stages of grief was so helpful for me to just like realize what is happening to myself.
Yeah.
So I hope this is a helpful conversation.
Yeah. If not, solved.
Sorry, you've just wasted 40 minutes.
Tell me about that.
Well, guys, dear listener, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, definitely.
Wrap it up, wrap it in, let me begin.
Oh, we started with a song and we'll finish with a song.
Definitely made up those lyrics, but hey-ho. Anyway, yes, go and check out
Pride in London, because that's what we were talking about at the start.
Go and check out Pride in London. We will, I guess that's the end. We'll be back in your ears next week.
Boom.
Boom.